This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. The Pontifical Council Cor Unum, the Pope's charity office, Caritas Lebanon, and Italy's premier children's hospital, the Bambin Gesù, have teamed up to provide medical care for Syrian refugee children in Lebanon. Introducing the initiative at the Holy See press office on Wednesday, Cor Unum President Cardinal Robert Sarah said this joint project with Holy See institutions aims to help between 3,000 and 4,000 children in its early stages. And as we near Christmas, a period in which consumerism unfortunately surpasses the announcement of Christ's birth, Cardinal Sarah said, we feel that the most beautiful gift we can give to help children suffering from the Syrian conflict is to help them recover their smile and to help them continue to live, accompanying them to grow not just materially, but also and above all, on a spiritual and human level. Speaking to me ahead of his official ordination as Monsignor next week, Father Simon Fadoul, president of Caritas Lebanon, reflected on Pope Francis's first apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, released November 26th. In that document, Pope Francis urges care for the weakest members of society, the homeless, the addicted, refugees, indigenous peoples, and the elderly, who are increasingly isolated and abandoned, and migrants, for whom the Pope exhorts a generous openness. Well, Father Fadoul suggests Lebanon has been more than generous in opening up to Syrian refugees flowing over the border from the conflict.
There are two official statistics. The official statistics of UNHCR,
which is the UN Refugee Agency.
It is the High Commission for Refugees. It says about 820,000 or something, based on those who register with them. So they have, until 2 weeks ago, 780,000 registered, and the rest were awaiting registration. Now, during these 2 weeks, I am sure the numbers have grown with them by thousands. However, the official numbers of the Lebanese government, meaning via official passages, entries, it's about 1.2 million. The unofficial number that we all know of, because we have in Lebanon 7 or 8 official crossings, and we have about 50 maybe illegal crossings. So everybody agrees that the numbers would be 1.5 million because we have so many people. It's almost 30% of the total population
of Lebanon, which is about 4 million.
Yes.
So it's really created a strain on your economy, on the job market, and on the people of Lebanon in general.
That is true. The impacts are huge, are so great on the people themselves, the refugees themselves, but also on the Lebanese population in general, on the children, on women, on families, on the host communities altogether, economically and in every aspect and dimension you could think of. Because meanwhile, you have to take into consideration that two cultures have collided. It's not like the culture, the Lebanese and Syrian culture are very close or similar. No, they are quite different. The Lebanese culture is very different than the rest of the Arab world because it grows in a climate of freedom and free expression. And, you know, it's the only Arab country where you have a succession of power and you have democratic practices, despite sometimes the chaotic democracy, but it is democracy.
Yet in Lebanon, many people resent the presence of the Syrian refugees because they were under Syrian domination for more than 20 years.
This was initially so. Now, those who resent it now, because they grew sick and tired of the situation, and because so many jobs have been stolen, and so many things, you know, Lebanese are getting all the more poorer. Now, within the Lebanese population, we are talking about 33 to 34% poor people, 14 to 15% below the poverty level.
So what are we talking? What is the average income for a Lebanese family, especially
the average? Well, the minimum wage in Lebanon is about $450. But no family can live with less than at least $1,000 a month so that they can survive. However, you have about 15% who live with under 1.25 cents, $1.25 per day, which is very low, because in Lebanon, yani, bread alone, you know, if you go to the store to buy a bag of bread for the family, 10 loaves, it costs like 2,000 liras, which is equivalent to 1.10 cents, $1.10. You know, it's not easy. Even if you want to live on bread alone, you cannot.
I came to Lebanon and with Caritas toured some of the camps and places south of Beirut and north of Beirut, where people are living in rented accommodations. But in the Bekaa Valley, you also have huge camps set up.
Yes.
Exactly. Those were challenges that I saw at the beginning, let's say, of the summer. Here we're going into the winter time, and it's very cold in Lebanon. What challenges do you face right now with this very diversified, situation for the refugees?
We have faced these challenges last year and the year before. This is the third winter in Lebanon for them.
But the population is growing.
It's growing.
Every day.
The problem is the challenges are growing along. And meanwhile, still the infrastructure for them is not there. So they have to be prepared for stormy weather, to windy weather in the Bekaa Valley, you know.
It was full of flooding. It was full of flooding
yes,
last
year. Mm-hmm. We were full of flooding. We're afraid of having floods this year as well, although until now it hasn't rained heavily as it does usually. So certainly we look forward for a good winter, and we need the water and everything. We hope it won't be very stormy for these people, you know, because it's going to be very difficult. I remember last year during the floods, we were called upon by two places, yani, one in the Bekaa and one in the south. And we were the only ones who were able to respond because it was a weekend. Because we are there, our volunteers and our people are all over the place. That's why we're able to respond quickly and resolve the issues. However, when I say resolving the issues, you're meaning we had to replace so many tents and so many things that they lost, the poor people. You know, they had like those who had like, let's say, food. They lost the food. They had clothing. They lost everything. The flood took out everything. So it's not easy, I would say. Besides then the cold weather, it's going to be very tough on these people. We try to stand by them. The UNHCR is trying to stand by them. All the NGOs are trying to stand by them. Lots of work is being carried out. But still, I think with the needs growing, we always fall short.
Caritas, of course, is also working in the health field. You have medical units which travel around to the various camps.
Yes, we do.
Could you tell us a little bit about that? And then also, you are launching, together with Rome's premier, well, Italy's premier children's hospital,
yes,
the Bambin Gesù, a special project aimed at helping the children, refugees.
We're in our health medical intervention. We have... First, we have 10 medical and social centers that are consecrated to help the people everywhere, be that Lebanese or Syrians. And we have 13 mobile clinics. Four of them are consecrated for the Syrian refugees. They tour the country to help the Syrian refugees, provide medicine, provide consultations, general medicine consultations, pediatric and gynecology consultations. Mm-hmm. So our main target are women and children, and the generalist is for mostly the elderly and the family. Mm.
From what I understand, is it true that there are more than 55% of the refugees present in Lebanon are under the age of 17?
I would say 55, 50, in these ranks, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have about, the last count was about 400,000 children. Mm. 400,000 children is some, you know. Then you have the families, 70% of the families are women-headed. So, which also places a great responsibility on the population. Anyway, in terms of medically, we have intervened next to this since the beginning for the past 2.5 years. During September and October only, the last 2 months, the numbers here I have in front of me, we have been able to provide 6,177 nursing care services, 4,079 pediatric and general practitioner consultations, 677 gynecologic consultations, 5,077 pharmaceutical services, 158 ultrasound tests, and 301 vaccinations. So this is, it means, a lot of capacities, a lot of means, lots of personnel, lots of follow-up, and thank God we have been doing fine. So that's why, since our successful experience, our experience has been successfully carried out, Bambino Gesù wanted to implement a program to get involved in the Syrian crisis response with the refugees in Lebanon. So they came, they contacted me via Dr. Maya Al-Hashim,
who is Lebanese herself.
She is a Lebanese, and she's a doctor at Bambino Gesù. And she came along with Lorenzo Borghese. They came to visit and to check, the field and stuff. And then at the end of this their visit, it was decided that Caritas Lebanon will carry out the program with direct orientation of Bambino Gesù. And when need be, doctors from Bambino Gesù can fly in, when need be. Because in Lebanon we have plenty of doctors who are very good, you know that. Because the area of intervention is going to be in Deir al-Ahmar, mainly in the Bekaa. In the Bekaa Nor, in Deir al-Ahmar, it's very far away out of the city. So it won't be very helpful to have like resident doctors, foreign doctors going there. Because it's going to be very difficult on them. Meanwhile, it's much cheaper and more economic to have doctors from local doctors to carry out the mission. And when need be, doctors from Bambino Gesù can fly in, or children could be flown into Bambino Gesù.
Here in Rome.
If an intervention, major intervention is needed,
Is there any talk of financial help or not?
Oh, yes.
It and is, medicines and...
That's where Cor Unum entered into place.
Which is the Pope's charity office.
Yes, Cor Unum is the Pope's charity office headed by Cardinal Robert Sara. They've decided to partner up with us, with the Bambino Gesù and Caritas Lebanon. They would finance a part of this. Bambino Gesù would send in equipment and medicines and would finance also the doctors and stuff like this, the experts. Caritas Lebanon will carry out the whole program on the field, on the ground.
What are some of the pathologies that you're seeing in Lebanon right now amongst children? We heard just recently that there's some fears that polio may be reemerging in
It hasn't
that area.
Reemerged in Lebanon. And here I want to say that the Ministry of Health in Lebanon has taken a major step and distributed vaccinations to all those concerned with the health sector, including Caritas medical centers and mobile clinics. We've been, the last 2-3 weeks, we've been taken altogether by polio vaccination for all children across the country, Lebanese, Syrian, whatever, migrant children, whatever it is.
There was concern, too, about measles, at least in Syria.
Measles, yes, it appeared in Syria. In Lebanon, very limited cases in settlements, in refugee settlements. We have what we call leishmania. Also, it was spread in few settlements. Some of it were they were able to treat it.
Now, I saw a few cases when I was there in Lebanon. Yes, these poor children whose noses had been partly eaten off, it's caused by sand flies.
It's a very dangerous pathology. It could be deadly to the people if it's not well treated. So, but thank God it hasn't spread all over.
But that is limited mostly to the summer months, isn't it, when you have sand flies?
Yes, but the problem is when in the winter, even in the winter, when you don't have the proper sanitation, it happens.
All right. Well, finally, before we close, your hopes for this new project that's underway with the Bambin Gesù.
Well, we hope we'll be able to help to assist so many children, Syrian and Lebanese, in that area. And this is a time to say thank you to Cor Unum and thank you to Bambino Gesù, and we hope our partnership will prosper and will be very fruitful to the best of these children.